Oh God. Oh my God.
So, what's your favorite water sport?
The kind that's conducted in Russian hotel rooms.
Do they involve water beds?
No.
Typically, no. There is some water on a bed, usually.
Yeah. It's pee stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
God, I drink a soda before I came over here, so I'm going to be fucking...
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
I took a nap, and then I was like, oh, I'm tired, so I needed like a little energy, but I didn't want to drink coffee yet. Well, also because it's fucking hot. And so I had like half a soda, and I was like, soda's gross, and then I threw it away in your garbage.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, technically, you're recycling.
I mean, I appreciate that. Rachel would get mad at me if it was in the garbage can, so she would blame me too.
Yeah, why are you drinking Coca-Cola? Yeah, ugh, God, on a hot day.
Ugh. It's not even the true sugarcane stuff. God,
nope, it was not. It was just full-on gross-ass normal soda,
corn syrup soda. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What's the temperature getting corny up there?
It's like 90-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about the same here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not that far away.
Well, Portland is actually usually a good 5 to 10 over us.
Oh, well,
especially on the hot days.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. That's fair. Something about marine layers.
Closer to hell.
Speaking of hell, Art Briles.
What?
Oh, the head coach for Baylor that sexually assaulted or that helped with sexual assaults. Yeah, that
fuck
guy.
Yeah, this is a good conversation. What was his favorite water sport?
It was probably water rafting.
I quit. Oh,
gross. That's where you just fill a big water raft with piss.
Did any of you guys ever know somebody to put pee in a super soaker?
No, I never knew anyone who actually did the pee in the super
soaker. Do I know one now?
No. Everybody wants to. Like, peeing in the super soaker sounds like the greatest thing in the world.
Right.
Nobody
does it. You never get that back. That's always the pee super soaker, no matter how many times you boil it.
That's
people
fair.
Are boiling fair. Their super
it's always,
soaker?
No, it's there's always pee in the super soaker after you put it in.
I mean,
so there's never, and it's never known as anything else.
I mean, that's fine.
No, I mean, especially when you're of the age where you have a super soaker, you didn't buy that, and you know you're not getting another one if you ruin it.
That's a good point. Mom is definitely not giving you a new one that you filled with piss, you know? It's like, hey, guess what, Sean? You get to keep that one forever. Enjoy your piss soaker.
Whatever. I'd be piss soaking everything then. I'd be like, okay, Mom, this is what we're doing now.
Mr. McDonough wet himself.
Is super soaker still a brand?
I mean, the need for water guns hasn't gone away. Did you guys ever have the backpack one?
Oh, yeah. Oh. No, actually, I didn't have it, but a friend did.
Yeah, it's always a friend.
Yeah.
It's always the rich friend, too. Mm-hmm. It's always the one that has the mansion on the hill that's, I guess, for the Eastern Washingtonian here, literally the friend that had an airstrip in his backyard. Like, yeah, that
Jesus.
Guy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, of course that dude has the backpack.
I didn't associate with any people like that.
my rich friend just had like a bigger house than I did.
Yeah. He just got to watch TV in the hours that I didn't get to watch TV. I was like, oh man, his life is so rich.
He didn't have a private fucking jet.
He didn't have a pool and a Cessna in his backyard. No.
No, he still drank from the hose, but he had the super soaker that had the backpack attachment.
A backpack full of piss.
Yeah. You know?
Piss pack. How long do you think it would take to fill that backpack?
Well, if we all pool our resources, I think we could do a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the whole hose there, so you just put the hose in your mouth.
Oh, just
and yeah, you just let it cycle through.
That's true.
And eat asparagus at the same time.
Ah.
So obviously, we're talking about The Boy in Blue,
which is a movie with Nicolas Cage
and zero piss.
Zero piss. Yeah. Honestly, I expected more of that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're already out on the water, I'm surprised we didn't see more of those guys just wanging one off the side of their little boat and just having a piss mid-row.
It's very unrealistic if there's somebody not pissing off their boat at some point during the film.
Yeah.
I think he just ran into other people's boats for a reason to jump in the water and then take a leak.
Mm.
Very valid take. Yeah. I never thought of that.
Because it was the 1800s, so like propriety.
Dumb. Yeah, he did wear cool, like, dude capris.
He definitely wore the old school Henleys that are, I don't get why that's still a thing, but that's definitely still a rowing thing.
Wait, explain.
So, like, the Henley is a regatta over in England still. One of the places that they actually still there that they actually showed on the Thames. But yeah, they legitimately have these really stupid shirts that have like a little instead of like the buttons right there, it's like a little thin piece of fabric right down the center, like where the buttons would be for like your normal polo. And it's like, yeah, no, that's a apparently that's a Henley shirt that they can wear while they're rowing. It's very stupid, but also very British.
Seems to work.
Yeah, I mean, fucking he could row.
Yeah, everybody wearing one of those in this movie fucking rowed.
Yeah. The crazy bit is, I mean, shoot, we can go into all the rowing stuff here in a bit.
Do it.
But,
we're going deep on the rowing.
We're deep diving.
Most of my notes are on all of the rowing stuff.
For anyone who doesn't know Hayden, he is a slut for sports.
What?
And a real coxswain, like a professional coxswain. And the coxswain is the guy who sits in the boat and tells other boys how to stroke the boat.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good at telling. Never mind. Boat boys how to stroke. Keep it short, boys.
So in all honesty, I rode in college.
Strong and smooth.
I rode in college, but like, yeah, we were only in the fours and the eights for rowing side of things. So
how many boys in a boat you got?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the singles was always, there was no person in there. Although back in the day, apparently, like I was looking through some old records and they had a coxed pair, which was literally just two people in a boat with somebody steering the boat.
Just cock-paring.
Yeah.
It was so bad. So bad.
That's where you just propel yourself somehow by jerking each other off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like one of those old timey railroad carts.
The pull carts.
Yeah. But it's like as you row, you're just jerking your buddy off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody wins.
It would
wins.
Be very impressive just to have the dexterity. They would have to be like Monkey D. Luffy to be able to reach around and just have the bubblegum arms.
Uh-huh. I don't get that reference.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Oh, Sean, you're not a nerd enough for that?
Sean only deals in sports, Hayden.
Yeah. Welcome back to Cage Match, Colin, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I am regretting all of my life decisions. My name is Sean. I'm here with my co-host,
Nick,
and our producer,
Peter. Hello.
And you've already met Hayden. We don't need to introduce him again.
Yeah. I already know Hayden's favorite water sports, so it's okay.
And as Peter alluded to earlier, we're discussing The Boy in Blue.
What made you think you wanted to get in a boat with other dudes and just be the guy who yells?
If you want me to be truthfully honest about this and not joking about it, it was literally,
we're an honesty podcast, so yeah.
Very honesty podcast.
Yeah, never
I was once. I was on a European trip right between it was basically my graduation gift. And there was a guy that rode in high school that was on the trip. And he was like, you'd be really good at yelling at people. So,
that's the weirdest take. I would never pick that for you.
So
you're like the nicest motherfucker.
And so I was light enough to do it.
I think I get a read through the lines here. What he was telling you is you never shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're small and don't shut up. These are good traits. Don't worry.
They're better now that I'm in Portland.
Okay. So some foreigner told you to yell at people in boats and you were like, you know what? I could do that.
And so I had no experience going into college and won a national title my first year. And then from there, just kind of fell in love with yelling at people in the back of the boat while not knowing completely how to row, which if you're somebody in rowing, that's about right.
You won a national title or the people rowing the boat won a national title?
We all won a national title.
They couldn't have done it without him.
It is a we. It is a we.
He was a we.
You didn't we. Nobody wees.
We established there's no weeing in rowing.
I have to say, for this movie, the cover of this, the cover I've seen and the photo of Nick Cage I've seen specifically for this movie, not what I was expecting this movie to be. I was expecting a rough, tumbling, street fighting man.
He kind of was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just kind
of. I'm looking at this jacked picture of Nicolas Cage with a headband, with a bandana all like sweated up. And I'm like, he's going to go kick some ass down by the docks.
Oh no. You see, you're still stuck up on
Rumblefish.
Rumblefish.
Yeah. Like, we just want everything to be a fish.
Yeah.
A
fight. I love Rumblefish.
I mean, he did look like he was supposed to be an extra in Mulan, but still.
He is jacked as fuck. This is probably the strongest Cage has ever looked, right?
Definitely the like cleanest and like leanest muscle.
And literally just based off of the rowing footage, it looked like he was the person actually rowing in a lot.
I think he was. I mean, he doesn't really fuck around. Like, I think now that he's like older and fatter, I think he doesn't do a lot of the stunts as much, or they cater the stunts a little bit down.
Yeah,
for sure.
Ooh, but, I do want to say a nice through line in his career, still banging with pants on.
Yeah. That's the only way to fuck, especially while cops are knocking on the door.
Apparently, he's always ready for a gunfight. He never disrobes before a gunfight.
Was that the worst sex scene we've seen of him?
Vampire's kiss. Total lack of passion. Even with the yogurt.
Okay, there was passion with this one, at least.
Yeah, it seemed like he was trying to have a good time with Dulce.
I do like her O face at the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think Drive Angry has some pretty passionless sex. Like, he's got the sunglasses on and everything. And
that was like the style. It's like Crank style, where he just has to keep going, you know?
Yeah,
it's
if
I don't fuck or drink, I've got to go back to hell, I guess.
Yeah.
You got to keep sinning to stay out of hell.
That's right. That's right.
So, Hayden, why don't you tell us what like the plot of this film was?
So the plot of the film, dude doesn't want to go row. Literally, my entire favorite quote in the movie is at the very, or is close to the very beginning in one of his very first lines. Rowing in the hot sun? Too much like work. Legitimately, that's, so it goes from there to a guy that actually turns out to be one of the best rowing champions of all time, if you go by the amount of consecutive races and all that.
Had you ever heard of Hamlin?
No.
Yeah, I didn't.
What?
Either. He's early 1800s.
A professional coxswain like yourself had never heard of Ned Hamlin?
1800s, man.
Canadian rower from 1878.
Yeah. World champion Ned Hamlin with 200 consecutive wins.
I got to be honest. Anybody before 1900, I have not heard of. And I'm okay with saying that.
Who's your favorite rower?
Rower?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, well, hold on. Who's your favorite coxswain? Let's start there.
Oh my God. There's a few coxswain tapes I used to actually listen to back in the day, but I totally don't know their name because I would have actually written them down and everything, but no, I didn't.
I generally don't learn their names either. It's just all about getting what I want and then closing the tab.
What is a coxswain tape? Is it just men yelling, grown men yelling the word row over and over again?
So essentially, like, it's just like any other thing. Like, for you guys, you know how you guys record yourselves and you actually listen back to the episode sometimes. At least I hope sometimes you do. Yeah, that's actually probably sane.
With a voice like this, no.
But I used to listen back to other people's, especially like from the Olympics and some of the world trials. I would listen to some of their cadences and try to pick up on some of the calls that they would, or that some of these people that were a lot better than me would make.
Oh, okay.
And just to see if it would work for practices and things.
So you're not just on the back just screaming now, 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 now,
exactly.
Now,
that's all it was. It was just
seems easy.
Yeah.
it's essentially
stroke it now.
Essentially, you're just trying to make, like, the coxswain, which is not in this movie at all whatsoever. we're just trying to help make sure that we stay on a race plan to make sure to win the race as best as possible.
Isn't that literally everyone's job on the team, though, except they actually do something?
Yes, but they're tired, so they don't want to make strategic calls, but I do.
Yeah, the coxswain is the only one who gets to see where you're going, right?
Yeah, because everybody's turned backwards and they can't see what's in front of them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. So there is some benefit.
Which is why they keep on making the insult of, I'm going to piss down your back, which is such a weird one.
Now we're back to piss again.
Yeah. So if you had to tell the boat to move, like turn 15 degrees starboard, how would you do that?
I would just do it. I have the rudder. I can just use the rudder and do it.
Oh, that's cheap. You gotta,
or the more fun way to do it, like if there's a massive degree that you have to move and you can't do it with the rudder, there's at points there'd be people that would actually stick their hand into the water off the side of the shell, and that would give you more drag.
Yeah.
And so it would actually, it would basically drift.
It's like an e-brake.
It's a massive drift.
That's sick.
I actually pulled that off in a couple of races once, and I felt like such a badass doing it.
Oh, yeah. You fucking Tokyo drifted the boat.
It was great.
Nice. I'm really excited about that. Did you ever use any accents or do any voice work?
I tried. And they made fun of me so bad.
Oh, race okay.
What did you do?
Yeah. Scottish.
So it wasn't Scottish or South African. It was always English because our coach at the time that when I first started, he was English. He literally rode for Cambridge.
Uh-huh.
So I tried to mimic his voice, or I would mimic our head coach's voice, because he had an iconic for us at Washington State at the time. He had a really iconic just cadence, just like, all righty, gentlemen, let's go. So it was always
so
fun.
Glad I didn't even have to ask you to do that.
Yeah, that was great.
So did you
first
did,
you got
like,
a herp it, and then you got a derp it.
All right, so Ned Hanlon.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoyed reading about this dude because I was like, what the fuck? This is a weird character. And Cage doesn't play he doesn't do a great job. This is not his finest acting. You know, he's very nonchalant American as a Canadian hero. But I was reading about Hanlon.
I think he says A once.
Yeah. So, all right, Hanlon, who was only 5'8", weighed a mere 150 pounds, yet his powerful stroke enabled him to beat larger, stronger men. While he rarely rode at more than 30 strokes per minute, compared to as many as 42 for his rivals, he usually led from the start, often toying with opponents. During his championship race against Morris, he slowed down, twice stopped altogether to enable the American to make a race of it, and he still won by 3 lengths. He competed with icy calm and mastered psyching out opponents with timely taunts. He had no qualms about humiliating those who he disliked. While racing the arrogant Trickett, he chatted with spectators, blew them kisses, stopped and waited, faked a collapse, rode in zigzags while the Australian labored in his wake. And on one occasion, Hanlon crossed the line so far in front that he leisurely rode back to his opponent and then beat them again.
So essentially, you know what that means? Especially during this time.
You know.
It means that
you know what that sounds like?
What does it sound like?
It sounds like an interesting movie.
Hey.
Where was all of that shit?
I know. I mean, I wish they had done a little more of that kind of stuff.
That was half of my notes, by the way, was just how much of a thing that they tried to make this of. But now knowing that bit more so, then it makes a lot more sense. But I will say this. It sounds like everybody of the time period didn't know how to use their legs.
That is
exactly like as somebody trying to analyze this, because the entire thing was he was the first person to use a slidey seat.
Yeah. Instead of a greasy butt
on a literally just a board. But
greasy bum boys.
Oh, greasy bum boys. But literally the entire rest of the field didn't know how to use their legs in the rowing stroke, which is where 80% of your power comes from. If you listen to any rowing coach. So literally, they're not using 80% of their power source. Like, if you didn't use your legs, it would be the biggest handicap of all time to give somebody.
Yeah. So the sliding seat really changed the game.
100%. It's the biggest outside of
oars.
Outside of oars and or literally the carbon fiber rowing shell. It's the biggest invention to rowing.
Yeah, I mean, doing this was a real bitch.
Arner, you
just hand paddling your way.
I'm sculling.
What I found fascinating about this story was the opening text crawl that said, before baseball and football, there was called rowing or whatever it's called. Rowing. And all I could think was, man, there really was a sport more boring than baseball.
Yeah, it's soccer, but
oh
90 minutes of dudes running around in a field to get a draw and be happy about it. Fuck off. Sorry, a tie.
But legitimately, like back in the day, like even in Seattle and across over to like the East Coast, like rowing was one of, if not the biggest sport. Like there were crowds back in the day that were like 50 plus thousand watching rowing races back in the early like 1900s in Seattle.
I mean, there really wasn't much to do. There was no booze because of fucking the cops.
Prohibition
assholes.
No TV.
Nah.
But they do say that they want to shoot
with your
you.
Clothes on.
Like, yeah.
Did anybody else find the cops in this just really freaking weird?
Well, we've always watched Nick Cage movies and noted that the cops suck. There's only one cop that we've ever counted as good, and it was because Nick hated the movie and he killed one of the main characters.
That's true. So I did like that.
Otherwise, all the cops are bad. They shoot so fucking fast. They're just assholes and bumbling morons.
Typical cops.
Yeah, cops suck. Fuck the police.
I do love at the beginning of this film when the cops try and like get him while he's bootlegging. They like grab the rope to pull him in, and like he just cuts the rope, hops out of the boat, which is like 6 inches deep, and like starts running away. They could have just walked up to the boat and grabbed him.
Yeah,
you would think.
Well, he was kind of out there. It was just a really shallow shore there, but yeah, they could have made a run for it instead. But you know, cop boots, maybe. Maybe they don't get paid enough to.
They didn't want to clean all their nice, clean uniforms, you know, or they were rich. Which
I think all the races should have been bootlegger races where it's all at nighttime and you have a boat full of fucking booze.
That would have been sick.
Outrunning the cops.
Well, in that first scene, it was when he gets back to his house where they're like, you should see him when he's running away from the cops. Like that would I wanted to see more of that.
Just more of the booze running.
Yeah. Like where he, I mean, shoot, in the one scene we do get of him running from the cops, he literally rows through one of their own boats.
Yeah. Oh, I do have to say this movie kicks ass. It has boat chases.
It does have boat
the
chases.
Whole movie is boat chases.
It's mostly boat chases. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love boat chases.
This movie is like 60% boat chase, 40% montage.
Yeah.
Very fair. Honestly,
this movie is two separate boat training montages.
Yeah, but they don't feel like montages. They feel like easygoing montages.
Or sabotage montages.
Was there a sabotage montage?
Well, maybe not.
No, there was just sabotage.
Just sabotage.
Yeah. Just regular sabotage.
Was it two or three sabotages in this?
I got really confused. So, okay, they try to poison him at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They try to beat the shit out of him a couple times.
Okay, so there's three.
Some of these are just good-natured fun, though.
Yeah. Then his buddy Bill tries to sabotage Trickett by fucking with his seat. But I was very confused while I was watching that, because I was like, is Bill being an asshole and fucking with Cage's seat?
That was one that I actually understood what was going on there. Because they were all on the same payroll as Dingle McKringleberry.
Yeah, Dingle McKringleberry.
You're talking about Knox?
Knox.
Knox. Yeah.
Also, Christopher Plummer as Knox was great. I loved him.
Yeah.
Amazing mustache.
I will say,
the real star of this movie are the mustaches.
Mm. Very much so.
Knox had one of my favorite quotes. I don't know if anybody else had that same quote, but all right. So his, so Bill and Knox and Cage are sitting around and Knox is trying to convert Cage to come be his, like, his dude. And Bill says, big words don't butter the beans, Colonel. And he says, oh, I'll see to it that everyone's beans get buttered.
It is such a good quote.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Butter them beans.
If we're just doing some light quote work right now, my quote from this movie is, boats are life.
Who said that?
Is that Walter?
Actually, nobody said it. I just forgot to write down a quote, and then I went to like look up something again on the way, and I was like, oh, there's only one quote apparently on the internet. It's just something from Knox. So yeah, boats are life.
My quote is when they're trying to get when Bill's trying to get a boat for Nick Cage at the beginning of the movie, and the guy he like had a deal with reneges. They meet this kid's like, this kid's like, I can get you a boat. It's like, where? It's like, and my quote is, cost you a dollar and one of them cigaroos.
That was really good.
I love a good street urchin.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, that kid's going to be dead in 2 years.
Although do a dollar line made think of a God, what's the movie A Million Ways to Die in the West when they bet a whole dollar? Oh. Guy pulls out a dollar bill and everyone takes off their hat. It's like, take off your hat, boy. That's a dollar.
I never saw that movie.
Yeah, me either.
It's actually pretty funny.
It was right in like the saturation of Seth MacFarlane for me, where I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
I did also like the fact that Walter, as soon as he unveils the boat to these guys, that he's just so on the defensive. Like, yeah, this guy's making fun of me too, and that you think I'm queer in the head.
Oh yeah,
everybody thinks Walter's a kook.
That was weird.
That was a slidey seat.
That was a weird term of phrase too for that. Like, was that
what
that,
queer?
Like queer in the head, is that like colloquial for the time period? Or
absolutely,
yeah, just strange in the head.
Just weird.
Guess I'd never heard that term or phrase before you're watching this one. So
you can still be queer in the head and straight in the bed.
So
where is your curly mustache, sir?
I know. I should have a sweet ass mustache like the Colonel.
Oh, that's what my nap did. I was supposed to go down to the fucking party store and buy a mustache today.
Oh, fuck. Damn. That's disappointing. I don't think I have one in the costume box. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at this cast on IMDb and like half the cast does not have like photos.
Yeah, I mean,
this movie was made for the CBC, if I remember right.
Well, because it was weird that they cast Nick Cage, period.
Yeah, except that he's, you know, in pretty good shape and he's had a couple movies under his belt at this point.
He was a bit of a name, but like it's weird for him to be a Canadian hero character as a non-Canadian. You know, when you could have probably found a jacked Canadian actor.
Probably. The people that made this film absolutely put a lot of care into the rowing side. Because I've seen a lot of movies when it comes to this. And the rowing on it is, I mean, don't get me wrong. The rowing's not great in this, but it's still better than
What's your favorite rowing movie?
Yeah.
At this point, it kind of defaults to Boys in the Boat. But like the rowing in that, you could argue that it's worse than the stuff in this film.
Hmm.
Yeah, what's like the Field of Dreams of rowing movies?
So, Boys in the Boat, which is a fairly recent film. Name another rowing movie.
Yeah, I can't because I don't know.
Because I don't care.
This is his third starring lead. This is his third starring role.
So, I mean, it's still pretty
Valley
new.
Valley Girl and Birdie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, Birdie's a great movie. Valley Girl is still high on my list, but arguably not a great Nick Cage performance.
Better than this. This is like one of the laziest ones, I feel.
For his early career, it's pretty lazy.
Yeah, I feel like he probably just wasn't given a whole lot on this one. But he could have also been bored. The structure of the movie is very much still like Valley Girl.
Honestly, he's a great cast for the character just based off of the just looking at the description of the guy.
Mm.
But we need more Showboat.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Especially that description that I read. You know, it's like if they had played that part up where he's like really kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Just make him the most arrogant asshole on the water to the point where he does it. He just throws a wrench back after his rigger breaks.
Right.
Like where his oar connects to the boat. Just like just throw it back to the dude that swam across and just tighten it by fingers. Like that would be funny as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely put in the effort to make this a competitive issue. Right. Like,
yeah,
we have to show him struggle and overcome.
Almost lose. Yeah.
I mean, this is the problem with like an actual this is ostensibly a biopic and it's one that wants to just paint the guy as like this virtuous, like all around likable good guy with no flaws, which makes for a very uninteresting character.
Oh, look at this guy that was a drunk and now he's sober.
I mean, they did try to play up some of that stuff where it's like he's missing a race or, you know, kind of fucking up and people are losing their money on him and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But,
and you know,
when he did get that egregious foul,
his whole character is like in the beginning, a booze runner.
Yeah.
That second race I thought was so freaking funny and probably even more indicative to the time too.
The one where he was like too hungover.
He was too hungover. So everybody else puts the money on him, but they don't want to lose their money. So they just throw the race.
Everyone throws the race.
For everybody, just so they win their money.
Yeah. I like the people on the shore just like, somebody fucking row.
I cramped my back. I can't row.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I like that.
When he's at the fair before like his first race, what was that like steam powered like thing playing Camptown Races? That's how much I cared about the plot of this film. Is like, I just want to talk about like weird background shit.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is there isn't a crazy amount of plot to talk about. It's like people are betting on him. He kind of fails. Other people buy in and believe in him, and he comes back and he's a victor. Yay!
You see one of the earliest ever rowing machines of all time, which I want to call torture devices because they suck.
Okay.
Well, in the past, everything sucked. Books.
Yeah. Those machines are torture.
Rowing machines aren't cool 1878, anymore.
Get fucked.
Yeah. Now, was it just the rope kinds that you didn't like, or all rowing machines?
Honestly, rowing machines in general, like as somebody that didn't have to hop on them as much.
Because you weren't rowing.
admittedly, the only
guy on the boat who wasn't responsible for rowing.
Hayden's rowing machine was a microphone that he just had to lean into and talk into.
You're correct, basically. But legitimately, they looked... I mean, I never been a big fan of just machines in general that are cardio machines.
Sure.
Treadmills or any of that. But like rowing machines in just general... they make you hurt way more than all the rest of them, besides maybe the Versa machines, which are like the mountain climbing ones. But that's about it. Like they make you hurt way more. And when you're doing it right, you hurt the most. It's one of those that like you don't get the gratification of going any further. You just get bigger numbers on a screen and a louder fan.
Yeah,
I do like that loud fan. I was contemplating somehow borrowing one of these machines from somebody and making you row this entire time.
Oh, that would suck.
I think Bill has one.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He actually has a good one, too. I think he has one of those C2s.
How would you set up the microphone for that?
We would have had to get some sort of lapel.
Yeah.
You would get me one of the the headsets with the little microphone in front. Yeah, the microphone
comes down.
Yeah. Like the
slap chop guy.
Yeah.
You're gonna love my nuts.
Watch this. You would have to
be like
Hi, it's Vince from Slap Chop. We're gonna make great food all day.
You would have to make it to where like it's like a push to talk. So that way you wouldn't just hear me breathing the entire time just heavily. Just
you know you hate making salad. Now I gotta listen to Slap Chop Remix. Oh, fucking man. Amazing.
I can't wait.
Oh god. Didn't that guy get beat up by a prostitute?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
She bit his tongue and like punched him in the face. His mugshot is so good.
I love that his name is Vince Offer and he's a sales dude.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
That is Christian name.
His
government name.
I think he's Jewish, but it is his government name.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Vince from Slap Chop. Gonna make great food all day. The skin comes right off. Jesus Christ, that's amazing. I haven't thought about that in so long.
Okay, let's say something nice about this movie.
Well, okay, so hang on, before we do that, because that's a good idea, let's do something that I think is a boring part of this movie. What do you think about the relationship storyline arc in the whole thing with the lady who looks like Olivia Colman but isn't?
Mm-hmm.
An afterthought?
I mean, it's a biopic. It just goes by the numbers, like they meet, they court, they marry, the end.
Yeah, I guess the drama is that she was previously engaged.
Yeah,
yeah.
I enjoyed that, you know. She gets paid basically, or like instructed by her uncle to lead him on just to like get him in their rowing pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh no, I can't. I feel guilty, but there's another man. And then it's like, I'm going to not be with you. And that pisses him off. And that really gets him hot. I loved when he like chases down the carriage, yes. And he's just like, and he like takes his shirt off and he's just right there. He's like, fucking look at me.
Come at me, bitch.
No, I know what my favorite quote was. It was when Cage early
said,
on
come at me, bitch.
Said, I look bigger without my clothes on.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That was a fucking slap of a line. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Honestly, Margaret had a few good lines, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her character is pretty good. The romance is kind of lame. But
yeah.
Also, I loved watching him chase that carriage down, but I was watching it at 2X at that point, and it is hilarious.
Yeah, a little Benny Hill music.
Well, because I was just like, oh, shit, he's really cooking. I was like, oh, right. Double speed.
Pew!
Honestly, the what was it when he takes her out on the water for the first time
with the old lady,
with her aunt there, just on the boat, and she just is like, "Yeah, I give you permission to kiss me." Oh yeah, do you want to wake up now?
Yeah,
she was pretty fun actually. He got his beans buttered for sure.
I did enjoy his friendship with Bill. They had a good thing, and they even had a call back to their, like, you take the two on the right at the end when Bill's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Bill comes around.
Yeah. The ending being a freeze frame of them about to fight some dudes is pretty solid.
Yeah. I do like, you take the two on the left when they're only fighting two guys. Yeah. That is good imagery.
Yeah. No, this is like one of the most 80s films that's ever been. Just.
You mean 1880s?
I will say the soundtrack, like all the songs, fucking this.
Synth music was kind of strange.
All the music, and then the title crawl at the beginning and the end, mm-hmm. The jump cuts from where there's music being played, and then just all of a sudden nothing.
Yeah, that was kind of strange.
I thought there was like a weird cut, you know, like it just all of a sudden was dead. It's like, whoa, what the fuck?
You're like, how did you get here?
Pay attention to this scene now.
Yeah, immediately. Forget that music. Don't worry about it. He's got a shirt on now.
Yeah. Don't listen to that music.
First time I watched this film, I was really bored and kept like,
oh, just the first time?
Kind of coming in and out of it. I paid, you know, second time when I knew what was going on, I noticed a few more things, but I kept like getting in and out and easily distracted. And yeah, every time I'd like look back at the screen and like be in a completely different place, I'm like, what did I miss? I rewound a few times. I'm like, no, that's just a weird cut.
Yeah. The editing in this movie wasn't terrific. You know, there's technical aspects of this movie that were just kind of bleh, but.
Did you guys see what the box office was on it?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
was it in hot. Canadian money?
So yeah, it's both. Yeah. So what do you think the budget of this was? Canadian dollars, 1989.
$18 million
Canadians.
Far less.
I probably would have gone six. I would have gone 10 mil.
Less.
4 mil Canadians.
It's, yeah, 7.7 million was the budget for this movie. And then what do you think it made box office?
2 million.
It has a 2 in it. It's not that big, though.
Oh, no. Was it
200,000?
275,000.
No! Canadian.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That's so bad.
That's pretty rough.
But also, let's be real. It's a story of the first guy to have a slidey seat.
Yeah.
That's
he was the first not grease bum boy.
He was the first guy to not put grease on his butt, which honestly, the scene of everybody
getting
putting
up.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Everybody getting lubed up in freaking Philly
and just laughing and having a good time at it.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, that guy's not greasing his butt.
What a chump.
So what you're saying is he was the first person to raw dog it.
Yeah, he is the first person to raw dog it. You're right. Mm-hmm. Nick Cage never wraps it.
Never does. But speaking of like all the racism stuff, like I was looking through like
we're jumping right into the racism, right?
Obviously. All into the races. Like that was some of my very first notes mm-hmm. on this. The opening scene on there.
Oh, when they're
the
like guy the paddle
that,
boats?
Yeah, when they're literally in the big tanker like rowboats and stuff.
Dinghies.
Very much so. They're very much in dinghies. The guy that was leading the race looked like he was rowing the freaking slowest. He was the slowest freaking boat in there. You look at like the strokes that he's making there. They're the shortest of the strokes. and he's rowing like it's like the slowest.
You go with what you know, man.
he is like the slowest stroke rate and the smallest stroke, and it's just like, how the hell are you in front of all these other guys that look like they're rowing halfway competently? And it's just like, what the actual hell am I watching?
Oh man!
For that first race. Although it was really funny seeing him throw literally Cage's oar aside.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I love that. Bill just being like,
"Yep, I'm just gonna take my oar." Just yeah.
I was testing you.
I do like how Bill and him race the beginning, and Bill cheats. And then the next scene when they are introduced, Bill's like opening gambit. It's just like, I saw you in the race today.
Bill fucks. We can tell.
You know what I'm looking forward to most about this episode? Hmm. What you're going to do with all of those clean cuts of Hayden talking about stroking.
It's just going to be a super cut. We're actually going to cut us out. It's just going to be Hayden.
Yeah.
Actually, Nick and I have been muted this entire time.
Yeah. It's going to be the new Slapshot remix. Yeah.
Hi, it's Hayden with stroking.
You're gonna love stroking my strokes
all day.
Short strokes.
Watch this. You're gonna love my nuts. Holy shit, we gotta watch that immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if I like this movie. I think I don't.
I get it.
I think it was a little too biopic 80s for me, but like, I didn't hate it.
I thought it was better than what the Rotten Tomatoes was in terms of just percentage.
I didn't even look at what it was.
It was like a 50 something. It was like a 54.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I'd put it about a 54, 56. Yeah.
Like, I was expecting to just absolutely hate the majority of this, and it was like, you know what? Not nearly as bad.
Yeah.
And
ultimately, that's my problem with the film, is it's not good, but it's not bad enough where it's entertaining. It's very mid, and that's the worst thing a film can do for me.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, if something's a real stinker, it's easy to then like dunk on it and have fun with that. If something's really great, obviously, you know, you cheers it on. But when something is just like,
it's good enough for what I needed of it.
Yeah. I watched an hour and 40 minutes of that.
Also, okay, so for the final race, did you guys think any of that was weird at all in the final? That final race against
Tell me about the stroke. What was wrong with the stroke?
Yeah.
Okay, was it short? So
was it short or long?
Was it weak?
So the entire time for me looking at this, because believe it or not, the actor for Trickett, the Aussie guy, he actually has a fairly solid, he actually rode fairly competent. He actually gets to full slide, which means he actually takes a full stroke.
Hi, it's Vince with Slap Chop.
He takes a full stroke. He actually looks like he knows what he's doing. It's like he rows halfway clumsily, but hey, he actually knows, he actually does one.
Decent Cage, mustache too.
Yeah. On the other hand, on this, he only gets to like half slide. He only ever takes like half a stroke.
Do you think he's too tall for the boat provided for him?
Oh, no. That it literally is just he got too uncomfortable, and you can kind of tell with the way he's coming forward and everything. Like, that's one of those things that it's I guess those little things where it's like, come on, man. I know you're racing this guy. Just cut the footage to where like he actually takes a full stroke during those pieces
and just keep re-showing that stroke,
that one stroke.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, I don't care. They cut it well. Like, come on. Like these guys, the way that they cut this movie in terms of the rowing side, otherwise, I mean, yes, the margins on this for like the fact that Cage was literally down, like what looked like over like 500 meters at one point, like four to 500 meters. Like he was down an entire curve around a river at one point in the final.
Yeah.
Like that was something I was like, okay, guys, come on now. Can you don't have to embellish that bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff where I think if they had set up earlier that like he is this badass that like just toyed with people, where it's like, oh, you can make up ground. Like maybe that would be more of a play.
Yeah. That seems like a whole nother like story to try to add on.
Yeah.
So they were definitely trying to just hit like a couple historical markers, and
Canada can't make fun of their own guy.
Yo, did you guys know when Canada got their flag? I didn't realize this. It was like 1960,
Really?
Mm. Yeah, man.
60s?
That's why they have all those British flags.
I mean, I kind of got
they were
the
still
flags.
Like a British colony.
Not at that point. They had just become their own. That was their big thing. It was their like, yay.
We're our own country. Now stop drinking beer.
No more booze. And we're going to still wave the same flag.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole.
Thank God we've thrown off the shackles of British tyranny and we can finally be sober. Fuck me.
Yes. So where do you guys put this on the like grid? Good cage. Bad movie, good, bad, bad, good, Sean, bad, good, bad.
Cage, mediocre movie. It's like, it's not, again, it's not bad enough to be entertaining, so I don't even want to give it that much credit.
I'd give it a fine. I don't think it's like a bad performance. It's not necessarily like riveting or like impassioned, but he's not doing things that take me away from the film.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, this could be just directorially. So this could be one of those things where he just didn't have any kind of room to play with the character. They're just like, no, we need it this way. Just do it this way.
Ned Hanlon strokes this way.
Yeah. He's always at a 45 when he strokes.
Does it this way.
Just solid meh.
Yeah. So what are you, straight in the middle?
It's one of those where it's just like looking at this from my perspective, I'd probably go maybe just a 6.
But it is your second favorite rowing film.
Yeah. There's not many rowing films.
Yeah,
this is easily like,
the Rudy of rowing?
It's worse. Oh, Rudy was offsides, by the way.
Rudy, I mean, that's just not a good movie.
It's heartwarming, I guess. But that's also not a Nick Cage film.
That's true.
Yeah, I think if I were to give this movie a percentage rating, I would give it a 54%.
Oh yeah, let's all grade it differently. So we've got a 54, we've got a 6.
A 6.
I'll give it like 2.5 bags of chips.
Okay. How many strokes do you give it, Sean?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, at no point was I excited during this movie, so I guess a lot of strokes.
Just like
nothing about this movie brings me to climax.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know, final thoughts, what do you, anything to wrap this sucker up?
This movie would have been great if Rhys Darby played Trinket.
Yes,
I had the same thought, except he would have been like what,
4 or something like that.
Yeah,
no, he's older than that. Yeah. Would have 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, not old.
Maybe he was that kid. Maybe he was that kid who wanted a cigaroo. He
just got that nice cigaroo. I'm Rhys Darby.
Yeah.
Honestly, could we have made Trickett be the main character of this and just had a lot more fun with this movie? Because Trickett was way such a better character.
Oh yeah. But then we'd be making an Australian movie. Well, Hayden, thanks for being here. Thanks for telling us about rowing and stroking and, you know, yelling at dudes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Legitimately, I was a little bit more surprised on the rowing side, because honestly, Boys in the Boat didn't do as great of a job on the rowing side, even though they at least made it to where it was the same actors that were rowing.
Do you think
altogether.
They had a stroke coach?
They had to have. They had to have had a coach on the lodge. They had to have. Do they want to call it a stroke coach? No,
they call it a coxswain.
They had a coxswain in the back, but they obviously had a coach on the launch for sure. But no, it was better than expected.
A coxswain in the back and a coach on the launch.
And
you know what? I'm just going to say what we're all thinking. Dragon boating, better.
Better.
You got the guy with the drum. You got the person who has to lean off the front of the thing and grab the flag. Much more interesting.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. You can find us on social media if you really care, or if you want to talk to us on Patreon, we're on there at Cage Match Pod or Cage Match. Nope, Cage Match. And thank you to our Sparkle buddies, Josh, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, Bill, and Stuart. And to our cage dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Nathan, and Cameron. Also, thanks to Bill Panks for our intro music. And that's that.
Nice.
Gonna make great food all day.
Bye. Bye.
Hayden, why aren't you on the Patreon?
Honestly,
bitch.
That's a very valid question, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, now is the time where we just bring people on who have never given us money and be like, hey, why haven't you paid us yet?
Or listen to our show.
Yeah. We have a special tier of Patreon for people who haven't paid. It's really expensive.
Nice.
But it helps you catch up.
I was going to say, I guess Hayden is a silent investor.
That's true.
Yeah. I was one of the investors in the board.
You were a progenitor of the original tech that we got started with all this. And we did record in your room one time.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Yeah, that was great.
Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Where would you have guys put the freaking microphones? Just like on the bedpost?
I mean, we brought a table.
We put it on the table,
Oh my God.
We did a full setup.
I want video of this.
If you listened to our podcast, you would have heard the story like five times.
That's also the episode where I got really mad at everybody.
Uh-huh.
It was also Doggy Dog. It was a terrible episode.
It was a bad
Doggy
day.
Dog and Ghost Rider. Fuck that.
Was Rosie at least on the bed?
No.
No.
Oh.
Her little clickety clacks are too loud.
Why did you have a computer chair but no desk?
Because I didn't need one.
Stroke practice.
Also, running around the apartment on hardwood floors with a rolly chair, great.
Yeah, fair
enough.
That's true. Yeah, respect that.
Underrated.
Cup chair. I get it.
All right, thanks for being here, Hayden.
Hey, that's Eric's cup chair to you.
Cuck chair?
Cuck chair.
Wait, you and Eric share a cuck chair?
No, that's only Eric's cuck chair. I never have used it since because of it.
Oh, boy. All right. We'll end
I need context here.